Hey guys, it's Linda from The Hannity Show here. And as you know, Sean and I never promote the stock market or investing in it, but I'm sure you've all seen the great GDP numbers, the awesome economy that Donald Trump is giving us, and we want you to benefit from it as well. So now we've discovered Dr. Richard Smith, his incredible financial software tools. They're trusted by thousands. It tracks over $20 billion of investments. And if you're planning for your retirement, you have any money at all invested in the stock market, you need to go to Hannity.com/retirement right now. Check it out. Hannity.com retirement.
All right. Glad you're with us. And write down our toll-free telephone number. We'd love to hear from you. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Oh, we're telling you it's coming. It's coming. And it's coming now. It's going to be, well, it's like an avalanche. And as much as you get that first bit of snow to start, next thing you know, it starts building up momentum and gets ahead of itself. And that is exactly what's going to happen here. Late last night, just before we're coming on TV, we had the New York Times, John Solomon, Fox News. We all kind of confirmed it simultaneously that the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, just appointed the top U.S. attorney in Connecticut to investigate the origins of the witch hunt into the Trump campaign. Now, remember, Barr said to Lindsey Graham, he was very, very clear. Lindsey went through, we have that, let me know, J.C. Owen.
Do you share my concerns about the FISA warrant process?
Yes.
Do you share my concerns about the counterintelligence investigation, how it was opened and why it was opened?
Yes.
Do you share my concerns that the professional lack of professionalism in the Clinton email investigation is something we should all look at?
Yes. Okay.
Do you expect to change your mind about the bottom line conclusions of the Mueller report?
No.
Do you think the president's campaign in 2016 was thoroughly looked at in terms of whether or not they colluded with the Russians?
Yes.
And the answer is no, according to Bob Mueller.
That's right.
He couldn't decide about obstruction. You did. Is that correct?
That's right.
You feel good about your decision?
Absolutely.
All right. So Mueller's over, which I've been telling you, but all these other issues are not. By the way, the president's motorcade had been in an accident from all our understanding is nobody was hurt. I've seen that car, the beast. It is so fortified, you can't even believe it. You could withstand anything in that car, maybe short of a nuclear bomb dropped on it, but everything else you would withstand. So, you know, if you pay attention to what the attorney general said in that exchange, and what the attorney general is now doing, and what we already expect coming, and that would include the FISA applications themselves, the 302s, the FBI's own investigation into the FBI, apparently not complimentary. I'll get into that in a second. And then the, you know, all this information is going to come cascading down. Now, there might even be the possibility, I don't know this to be true, but it wouldn't be beyond the realm of possibility that the Inspector General Horowitz may have even handed over to the Attorney General the report of his, and perhaps it's even connected to his announcement last night, and that is, because it's huge news, that the Attorney General appointed this top U.S. attorney in Connecticut to investigate the origins of the witch hunt into the Trump campaign. It could all be related. Is it? I don't know. But we know that when the Attorney General said what we all knew, and that was the Trump campaign was spied on, we now know in a multitude of ways. One of the ways was based on the phony FISA applications with Russian disinformation in them that Hillary paid for that were unverifiable. I mean, that was one way they not only got a warrant to spy on Carter Page, Trump campaign associate, but also all things within the Trump campaign and used it as such. I mean, that was a backdoor into everything, past, present, future. That was like a get out of jail, spy on everything card for all things campaign Trump. And then thereafter, transition team Trump. And then thereafter that, President Trump, because it went on a full year because a FISA application has to be renewed every 3 months. So is it related? I don't know. But watching this happen at this time and knowing that we expected sometime mid-May the release of the IG's report, It would not shock or surprise me that that report is already finished. I don't know where John Huber stands with his report as it relates to leaking, but the attorney general himself was very clear that he is going to look into the spying. He will look into the investigation of possible crimes that Hillary Clinton had committed. If you really want to break it down, this is what really happened in 2016. They robbed Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders didn't know it at the time, but he had no shot. The system was rigged in Hillary's favor, and Bernie had no chance to win. Now, they've made some tweaks and changes to the Democratic nominating system, but not enough that would really make it fair. But it's certainly going to be more fair, which won't bode well for Biden if he's supposed to be Hillary, you know, redux, or, you know, the second coming of Hillary. So that's point number one. Then you've got the Hillary investigation, and, you know, it's kind of laughable when you get the text messages released of Strzok and Page, and they're both saying that, well, no, all those decisions are being made by Loretta Lynch, the same person that met with Bill Clinton on the tarmac in Arizona and Phoenix just days before the final decision about whether to indict his wife was being made. Or they only talked about grandchildren. And, of course, telling Comey it's a matter, it's not an investigation. No, it was an investigation. It was supposed to be mid-year investigation, not Operation Crossfire Hurricane. Then it's a question of the FISA applications and the lies that were told to FISA court judges. And in that particular case, this was a conspiracy. This was a premeditated conspiracy to commit fraud on the court, withholding certain information like that Hillary paid for it and not verifying the information, later finding out it's unverifiable because the author doesn't stand by it. And then that gives them an opportunity to spy into the Trump campaign through Carter Page, a Trump campaign associate. Simultaneously, at some point, we have the hiring of these spies. Now, there's some dispute as to whether it's the FBI or whether or not it's our intelligence community, CIA people. But Stefan Halper is empowered to go talk to, again, they're using this other spy, Joseph Abboud, the guy that is the professor in London, but also has connections to many spy agencies. And now we found out about the, you know, the hot, flirtatious 30-year-old blonde bombshell spy that was very, touchy-feely with George Papadopoulos. So that all went on, too. And they were going after Page, Papadopoulos, Sam Clovis. Another way they spied on the Trump campaign. And remember the media outrage when the president said that, you know, Obama's team was spying on him. Well, it turned out all of that was true. We just didn't know the details of how they were doing it or why they were doing it. But the issue now of, you know, if you didn't verify that information and a FISA application says verified and you're putting your signature on it and you're doing it for political purposes because you want that backdoor into the Trump campaign and you can't get it legally, well, that would be a significant, serious felony violation of constitutional rights in an attempt to rig the 2016 election, just like they rigged the primary election. And then we get into the post-presidency and the behavior at that point. Well, that's when the insurance policy that Strzok and Page talked about, you know, he can't win, right? Tell me he can't ever win. And, you know, no, he's never going to win. That can't happen. It won't happen. And if it does, we have an insurance policy. Well, then they talk about the insurance policy being discussed in McCabe's office. McCabe was the one guy that was honest enough to say at one point, were it not for the dirty Russian dossier, there wouldn't be a FISA warrant to begin with. And then every 3 months thereafter, they've got to get a FISA renewal warrant. And the bulk of information remains the bought and paid for Clinton dossier. And every time they're not telling the FISA court judges, there are numerous judges, I assume four separate ones in this particular case. And they're being told by the highest ranking people in our government, FBI, Department of Justice, that are signing their name to it, that they have verified that the information they're presenting to the court is true and accurate. And there's lies by omission. I think it would be a big red flag for any judge if you said, well, yeah, this involves the 2016 presidential campaign and Hillary paid for it, the opposition party. then I think any judge would say, hold on, why would we believe in the validity of this? Or does the author even stand by it at that point? No. And so what Barr is going to do here is he's assigned to get to this. We're now going to get to the bottom of this. It's interesting to watch the infighting because now you got Strzok and Page. They're now turning on the likes of Loretta Lynch and the Department of Justice under her. That raises questions about where are her emails, text messages, and what did she know and when did she know it? We know there were meetings inside the Oval Office. Susan Rice, we hear, has been in some of these meetings, and Joe Biden and Barack Obama himself. What did they know? And when did they know it? Then you've got James Comey ripping mad at Rod Rosenstein, and Rod Rosenstein now firing back against James Comey in a speech saying he's acting as a partisan pundit. I don't blame the former FBI director for being angry. I would be, too.
So I do not blame the former director for being angry. I would be, too, if I were in his shoes. But now the former director seems to be acting as a partisan pundit, selling books and earning speaking fees while speculating about the strength of my character and the fate of my immortal soul. I kid you not. That is disappointing.
A little beyond disappointing. I mean, Jim Comey is, you know, the great paragon of virtue, is in more trouble than anybody, I think, in all of this. And I think Rosenstein was right to unload on him. Rosenstein's problem in all of this is how is he going to answer why he signed the fourth FISA application, the third renewal? And, of course, the cowardly Schiff is predicting this country won't survive another 4 years of President Trump. I think we'll survive. Whether we can survive four more years of you lying, though, would be a whole different question, wouldn't it? Now, what's interesting is we had Trey Gowdy on last night, and people like Trey Gowdy. Let me play what Trey Gowdy said, because it's people like him and Lindsey Graham. They're all saying that there are these sensitive documents, never before seen, that are going to prove many things that we have put out there. Listen.
Are you convinced that there was a fraud committed against the FISA court withholding that Hillary paid for that dossier and that, in fact, the bulk of evidence was unverifiable and that they never verified whether anything Steele wrote is true? And did they do it to spy on the Trump campaign, sir?
Sean, I can tell you it is even worse than what you described. It is what you described in addition to the withholding of exculpatory information, which is what has Johnny Ratcliffe so exercised. And they made no effort to corroborate the dossier until after it had been used in the application and a renewal. No effort. It's not that they failed. They made no effort to do it.
Last question.
So whoever is investigating this, tell them to look for emails between Brennan and Comey in December of 2016.
There's something there. He's obviously seen it. Who else may have seen this? Now, Lindsey Graham, he too wants to declassify these sensitive documents that prove the FBI knew the Steele dossier lacked credibility. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm assuming these guys saw something here. And if they did, and it sounds like what I think it is, withholding of exculpatory information, everybody that signed is going to go to jail if we, of course, have equal justice and application of our laws.
What's up, everybody? Linda from the Sean Hannity Show here to talk about your money. Retirement, your money, it's like your health, right? You know, you don't think about it until you don't have it. And a lot of people are making really bad mistakes, especially with their retirement. They're not retiring with enough money. And you know what? It's just wrong. But have no fear. Meet one of the most incredible financial minds in America, Dr. Richard Smith. And Richard's extraordinary tools are trusted by thousands of Americans. It tracks over $20 billion in the stock market. And his tools can help you reset your retirement. You're going to be hearing a lot from Sean and me about Richard. And literally, we have never endorsed any financial software tool until now. Why? Because we've never seen anything like this before. So see it for yourself. Go to Hannity.com retirement. That's Hannity.com/retirement. And check it out.
All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941. So guys like Trey Gowdy and Lindsey Graham, they've seen something. What that sounds to me like is exculpatory information evidence that is going to trickle out because they're demanding that it get out. Now, the other thing that they're finding is there is a nexus with Comey and Brennan. I really want to find out what the involvement of Brennan and and Clapper are in all of this as well, because, you know, just Comey alone seems to be the nexus of all of this. Comey, you know, then with the FBI, you've got McCabe and you got Strzok and you got Page and you got Baker. You know, they're sort of all in his web, and his relationship, too, with the attorney general at the time, which would be Loretta Lynch. Here's what Congressman Ratcliffe said to make this point. Democrats are scared to death. They're in a panic about evidence of collusion quickly unraveling. And he's a member of the House Judiciary Committee, explaining these congressional Democrats were on the offensive over Bill Barr and his refusal to comply with their demands, given they were concerned that the claims of collusion were unraveling. That's only a part of the story, though. And Comey is contradicting himself left and right. He actually contradicted his own memo on the Trump Oval Office meeting. And, you know, there are a number of discrepancies that he's put on record now, because he keeps talking and he keeps putting his foot in his mouth. And the FBI Steele story, as we said, has fallen apart because everybody knew before the first FISA warrant was even signed to spy on the Trump campaign and Carter Page. All right, I'm going to give you these new details about Bill Barr, his new appointment, what this means. We have Greg, Jarrett, much more coming up as we continue.
Hey, guys, it's Linda, the executive producer for The Sean Hannity Show. You might also know me as Sean's daily sparring partner, and now that he's a ninja, of course. And every day we argue about all sorts of things and talk about lots of stuff, including the incredible economy that the president has given everyday Americans. And just like that, well, we want to tell you about how to fight for your retirement. And that's right, fight. There's a huge crisis in America. Millions of people are retiring and without enough money. And if that's not shocking enough, even if you think you've got your financial act together, chances are there are retirement killers out there that you don't know anything about. So have no fear. We have one of the brightest financial minds in America to help make sure your investments for your future retirement are on the right track. I'm talking about Dr. Richard Smith, the founder of TradeSmith. And his mission is to help Americans be more financially literate. That's right. Put the power, put the knowledge back in your hands, make better investment decisions, and avoid catastrophic mistakes that could cause your retirement to be a disaster. Thousands and thousands of people trust Dr. Smith's investment tools to track over $20 billion in the stock market. And I'm telling you, you should too. When we're talking about your retirement, you're in a financial fight for your future. Please do yourself a favor, folks. Register right now for Dr. Smith's special online event, The Great Retirement Reset. Go to Hannity.com/retirement. That's Hannity.com/retirement. Eliminate the stress. Eliminate the worry of investing in the stock market. Register now. HannityNow.com/retirement.
All right, breaking news. Ocasio-Cortez, climate change will destroy the earth in 12 years. That claim was not literal. Not like literally. Why did you think it was literal? Anyway, suggesting that people who believe the suggestion that the world will end in 12 years have the intelligence of a sea sponge. She made the claim in January. Sorry, we're just quoting you. Guess we're all sea sponges and you're, you know, a genius. No, I think she's probably been dressed down by more than a few liberals over in Washington about the whole thing.
I think that the part of it that is generational is that millennials and people and, you know, Gen Z and all these folks that come after us are looking up and we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is your biggest issue is how are we going to pay for it? And like, this is the war. This is our World War II.
Okay. Our World War II. Now it's time to pop out, bring out the popcorn, because Biden and sleepy, creepy, you know, Uncle Joe and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, OAC, are now publicly feuding over the new Green Deal. And last week, Biden's aides told Reuters that the Democratic presidential candidate was exploring, quote, middle ground option for tackling climate change. And Ocasio-Cortez seized on the remark during a Green New Deal rally in D.C. on Monday, yesterday, and tried to paint Biden as the centrist that is out of touch with the progressive vanguard of the Democratic Party. I will be damned if the same politicians who refuse to act are going to try and come back today and say we need a middle-of-the-road approach to save our lives. That's too much for me. Biden, well, then he fired back.
Road, I've never been in the middle of the road on the environment. And I tell her to check, the statement that I made and look at my record. She'll find that nobody has been more consistent about taking on the environment and a green revolution than I have. And so, look, anyway, but I don't think she's talking about that.
For this idea that I haven't done anything, take a look at the record. That's what I'd say. I'm sure she will get time to look at it.
You notice Biden doesn't really have the high level of energy that I think a presidential candidate needs. He sounds like he's exhausted already. And it's just getting started. You know, this is not for the faint-hearted. I've been out on the road. You've got to have that inner drive that is pushing you. Not that it's my time. I'm due. What do you want? What's the question? I mean, not a good idea. So let me tell you more about John Durham, appointed by Barr. Pretty extensive background prosecuting high-level government corruption. So when it comes to him, it's hard to imagine that there is a prosecutor out there with a more extensive background in cracking high-level government corruption. Durham was prosecuted during he prosecuted the Boston mob, and he's a former acting U.S. attorney. Deputy U.S. attorney, was the chief of the criminal division, also once headed the New Haven field office and the Boston strike force for on organized crime, was involved in special investigation projects under four attorneys general. And in 2002, Durham helped secure the conviction of retired FBI agent John Connolly Jr., who was sentenced to 10 years in prison on federal racketeering charges tied to his relationship with the well-known mobster Whitey Bulger. And then he led investigators into a former Connecticut governor. And he helped prosecute the former Republican Connecticut governor, John Rowland, who served two prison stints for not paying taxes and accepting $107,000 in gifts from people doing business with the state. And he was also responsible for prosecuting mobsters in the Boston area and led an inquiry into allegations the FBI agents and Boston police had ties with the mob. He investigated the CIA. That was in 2009. Then Attorney General Eric Holder, a Democrat, appointed Durham to lead the Justice Department investigation into the legality of the CIA's use of enhanced interrogation techniques. Apparently, he cleared the CIA on the media's hysterical torture allegations, since there's no mention of any prosecutions. Now, remember, three people were waterboarded. One of them was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. That's how we found the courier that gave us bin Laden. Yeah. And, you know, when they do this, and I had it explained to us, people in the room at the time, when they're doing that to people, you have doctors standing by. They had very strict rules about how to do it, how to scare the living daylights out of these guys, and they did sing. And if you have knowledge that will save American lives and you're keeping it inside and we're just trying to be nice to you, you're not going to get the information that can protect Americans' lives. I wonder what people would do in this day and age, what they would think if it was World War II, beating back the forces of fascism, Nazism, and Imperial Japan, the unprovoked attack on Pearl Harbor, and you have President Truman deciding to drop the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. What would the liberal reaction be to that? Now, did innocent people get hurt? Yeah. Is it a tragedy? Yeah. It's horrible. War is awful. But how many American lives ultimately were saved by ending that war? It's not an easy question to answer. But they started it when they invaded and attacked Pearl Harbor. Unprovoked. As a matter of fact, they were lying to us at the time, the Japanese were. Then we've got other information as it relates to Bill Barr, the attorney general. Now, this was in the Washington Post. Since the Russiagate investigation began with Comey's FBI, Brennan CIA, and Clapper's was the director of national intelligence overseeing the whole thing. It's only fitting, I think, that Barr's investigation into the Russiagate hoax returned to the scene of the crime. And even CNN fake news reported the Attorney General William Barr is now working in close collaboration with the CIA Director Gina Haspel, Director of the National Intelligence Dan Coats, and the FBI Director Wray. And there had been speculation as to why Haspel has been spotted at the Justice Department in recent weeks. Wray testified last week that he was assisting Barr. John Durham is also working with the Justice Department's Inspector General Michael Horowitz as well. After a hearing last month, Barr said, I think spying occurred. And the media had a collective freak out because it did occur. It's not even in dispute anymore. At all is it in dispute. Anyway, John Huber of Utah, no longer involved on Russia issues, he had originally been tasked with looking into allegations of surveillance abuse by former Attorney General Sessions, but has been in a holding pattern as the Inspector General completes the review of the FISA issue and surveillance warrants the FBI obtained on Trump campaign foreign policy advisor Carter Page. And Huber's review of other issues related to Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation apparently nearing completion, according to one source. The DNI CIA didn't respond for comment in that case. But it is interesting. Sarah Carter came out with a piece that the leading Russiagate hoaxer, James Clapper, hit the panic button yesterday when he found out that John Durham had been appointed to find out whether Brennan and Comey, well, whether they concocted bogus intelligence to try and frame Trump. You know, I think we're going to also discover at some point, just too many sources are going too close to this. I don't have it buttoned up yet, that we're going to find out that certain intelligence gathering techniques that would be illegal in this country without a warrant were probably outsourced to allies and friends. In other words, you know, you have the five spy, you know, in other words, we have relationships with Great Britain and Italy and Australia and other countries. I'm just keeping an eye on it. I want to see where that ends up going. Anyway, so Clapper's upset. Clapper never complained when Congress was conducting multiple Russiagate investigations. He didn't seem to mind when 90% of the media, not to mention the special prosecutor with a posse of Hillary donors, were chasing down every anti-Trump allegation under the sun. But now he says we don't need Durham's investigation because the DOJ's inspector general is already probing the same territory. Nope. So Clapper said this in an interview on fake news CNN, where he gets his paycheck, and he was asked about the attorney general's appointment of Durham for the job to investigate how the FBI Russia investigation started. And Clapper clearly didn't like the idea. You're going to have to stand in line and take a number to do the investigation of the investigators. Well, if that's what it takes, I'm not in disagreement with that. If we have to stand in line, let's stand in line. So anyway, Durham just has a reputation as being, you know, a pretty hard charging bulldog, according to some quotes. And there's a piece in Fox News today, FoxNews.com, that the U.S. attorney appointed by Barr to examine the origins here had been working on his review for weeks. A person familiar with the process telling Fox News and all the intelligence collection activities related to the Trump campaign during the 2016 presidential election. Sounds like he's hitting the ground running, that he's been doing this for some time. Durham, known as a hard-charging bulldog prosecutor, according to a source, will focus on the period before November 7, 2016, including the use and assignments of FBI informants, as well as alleged improper issuance of Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrants. See, this is what makes me think that I'm beginning to think that Horowitz is done. I'm thinking it might even be handed over to the attorney general. It's just a total guess speculation on my part. But it would fit based on the timing and the naming of Durham. Another source told Fox News that Barr is working collaboratively on the investigation with the CIA director, Gina Haspel, and the director of national intelligence, Dan Coats. And meanwhile, President Trump praised Barr for appointing Durham and maintained that he did not request that the attorney general do so. I think the president's being smart. He's staying out of it. And he's letting the people do their job, which is the best way to handle anything like this. Otherwise, he'll be accused of politicizing it in 2 seconds. Now, he can probably rightly focus on the economy and some of the other issues that, you know, the country's facing. How about maybe we focus in on the idea, this may sound novel, that America is no longer a hackable nation, that we build the defenses so that these foreign entities and foreign countries can't hack in and rob us of our top secret information, because that's been going on for 4 decades. Never mind election interference. That's just a small aspect of it, which we were warned about in 2014 by Devin Nunes, and nobody paid attention in the Obama administration to his admonitions and his warnings. By the way, it was really funny this morning over at Trump Tower today. Comrade Bill de Blasio, you know, maybe it's a preview of coming attractions. He said he's going to, you know, what he's going to face if he decides to run for president. He was pretty much booed off the stage at a Green New Deal rally by a crowd of people chanting and shouting, "You suck and you're the worst mayor ever." Anyway, he was growing a little hoarse, shouting over the cranked up sound of Frank Sinatra in Trump Tower's lobby. I don't know why they had it there as he tried to promote his Green New Deal. Anyway, the Trump Tower staff turned up the dial on the PA system moments before the mayor entered the Fifth Avenue building, and there was Tony Bennett, Stranger in Paradise, and Frank Sinatra, "I've Got You Under My Skin," blasting through the speakers during the big event, according to the New York Post. And Trump supporters joined in on the noise and started booing and saying, "You suck," as he tried to shout over the music and the protesters. I don't know what, not really sure why he was there anyway, what he's looking for. All right, we got a lot more to get to. This is a big deal. This is a huge deal. And I think it is based on something more profound than anybody's picked up on yet. And we won't know probably for, well, we could know any day, but this may take a week, 2 weeks, and then we're all going to find out.
So I do not blame the former director for being angry. I would be too if I were in his shoes. But now the former director seems to be acting as a partisan pundit, selling books and earning speaking fees while speculating about the strength of my character and the fate of my immortal soul. I kid you not. That is disappointing.
We finally have somebody outside of politics. And I want to give Mr. Durham, is that his name? I don't even know him. The space to do his job. I'm a Republican judiciary chairman. You now got a prosecutor. I don't want to get in their way. I don't want to mess up his criminal investigation, and I don't want to put people at risk. So I'm going to back off.
Are you convinced that there was a fraud committed against the FISA court withholding that Hillary paid for that dossier, and that, in fact, the bulk of evidence was unverifiable, and that they never verified whether anything Steele wrote is true, and did they do it to spy on the Trump campaign, sir?
Sean, I can tell you it is even worse than what you described. It is what you described in addition to the withholding of exculpatory information, which is what has Johnny Ratcliffe so exercised. And they made no effort to corroborate the dossier until after it had been used in the application and a renewal. No effort. It's not that they failed. They made no effort to do
it. Last question.
So whoever is investigating this, tell them to look for emails between Brennan and Comey in December of 2016.
All right, that was Trey Gowdy, who was on with me last night on Hannity, and he's now bringing up things. I'm beginning to put two and two together, because what he's saying is that there is a document, there are documents, and I always thought it was the Gang of Eight documents where the FBI actually did their own internal review, and when we see their own analysis of their own work, it's not pretty. And Lindsey Graham and others are now working to declassify the sensitive documents that prove that the FBI knew. They all knew that Steele lacked all and any credibility. I'm getting some of my little birdie sources telling me that if Horowitz has not turned over the report he was doing on FISA applications and FISA warrants and committing fraud before the FISA court, he's very near the point he's doing so. Some people that I've been talking to are speculating very strongly today that, in fact, the Attorney General, William Barr, appointing this new U.S. attorney, John Durham from Connecticut, is a direct result of the fact that the FISA abuse findings are devastating. We bring in Diana West, nationally syndicated columnist, author, by the way, of a brand new book called The Red Thread. Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst, author of the number one New York Times bestseller, The Russia Hoax. I don't know if you're hearing the same thing that I'm hearing, but this did not happen in a vacuum, meaning the appointment of Mr. Durham. And from all I can read and see about this guy, he apparently is a tough-nosed prosecutor that gets the job done.
William Barr knows what the inspector general has already come up with, and I think you've nicely summarized it, that there was lying going on to the FISA court, a fraud on the court, concealing of evidence, deceiving the judges. And you know, William Barr, as the attorney general, knows where this is headed, to a grand jury, and he needs a top prosecutor to be able to present that to a grand jury. So he's picked Mr. Dunham, who I know quite well, since he's the U.S. attorney where I live. And, you know, he is a hard-charging, no-nonsense bulldog of a prosecutor with an excellent track record of uncovering corruption at the FBI. And so he's the perfect pick to get to the bottom of this.
Well, yes, yes, there's an interesting question here that needs to be asked and thought about. And this is really what I was trying to do in The Red Thread, which is the subtitle is A Search for Ideological Drivers Inside the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. And that question is, why would all of these top officials, these top-level powerful people at the head of the Justice Department, the FBI, throughout the Obama administration and elsewhere in Washington, risk everything when all we do in America, the basis of our, the admiration of our political system, is the peaceful transition of power? In other words, why didn't they wait till next time? And I think what's an important question here is to get to motivation to try to understand the thinking of these people who do not believe in democracy, small d. I mean, this is sort of the overriding theme that I am finding inside the anti-Trump conspiracy in terms of a hard left ideological drive to take down not just a generic Republican president, but this Republican president who is a counter-revolutionary figure.
You know, it's an interesting analysis of all of this. If we're going to do this right, and I have every belief that Barr is going to unravel the mess that he inherited, because this we need to remind people, too, that this all happened under Biden Obama. All of this Russian interference, they were warned many, many times by the intelligence community. They were warned in an article in 2014 by Devin Nunes. It seems like they wanted this to happen. At any point, the FBI or the Obama administration, they were at liberty. They could have pulled Donald Trump in for a private secure meeting and said, look, we're worried about what the Russians are trying to do with the election. And I imagine Donald Trump would have asked, well, what can I do to help? He was never given that opportunity. Just like when he's having a private meeting with Comey. You know, Comey could have said, sir, there's a little bit different than what you understand in your past life as a business person. But, you know, just so you know, the Department of Justice is separate and apart. The FBI is separate and apart on all the decision making as a means of, you know, being able to be a fair broker and discerning the law and upholding the law. They didn't want that because they wanted to set him up, Greg Jarrett. They wanted that response. And Comey either lied in October of 2016 when he signed the first phony FISA with Russian lies that Hillary paid for, or he lied when he said it was salacious and unverified. And my guess is he probably lied in both instances, if at all possible, just to keep the president off track.
Well, James Comey signed not just the first, but the second and the third FISA applications. So you're talking about a period of 120 days in which they clearly knew that what they had presented to the court, they had been unable to verify even belatedly. They have an affirmative duty under the law to immediately notify the FISA judges if they uncover information that's beneficial to the target, which was Carter Page. So they didn't do any of that. And what was very revealing in your interview, excellent interview last night with Trey Gowdy, you said, look for the document exchange between James Comey and John Brennan. The lines were blurred between the CIA and the FBI and indeed the White House. I think in the end we'll find out that all three were involved not just in spying and unlawful surveillance, but an attempt to stop Donald Trump from becoming president. And to answer Diana's question, why? Why would they do this? Because it's the arrogance of power, and they never thought they'd get caught because they assumed
so we have a situation.
And Hillary would win.
We have a rigged Democratic primary against Bernie Sanders, then a rigged investigation to keep Hillary in the race because, after all, Trump is loathsome and should lose $100 million to zero. So they take care of Hillary, even though the evidence is overwhelming and incontrovertible, as is the obstruction thereafter, as she tried to destroy the evidence. Then you're going to try and use the phony, unverified, uncorroborated dossier, leak it to the press as a means of disseminating the salacious information to the American people, vis-a-vis the Washington Post, David Korn, Michael Isikoff, and probably others. And then you're going to use the same dossier to spy on the Trump campaign while simultaneously taking away the constitutional rights of an individual, but also all the individuals who they spied on when they got in that network, while simultaneously using spies in Europe to go and have meetings with the likes of Papadopoulos, Carter Page, Sam Clovis, and just for a little icing on the cake, they even throw in a hot 30-year-old flirtatious model spy that wants to basically telegraph to George Papadopoulos she's available as long as he gives her information.
Yes, they went to a lot of trouble, didn't they? But again, it's this wondering of what they were afraid of, maybe is a better way of getting into this. What were they afraid that Donald Trump would do as president? And here is where I think we again get to this hard left bias driving them, which is Donald Trump, this counter-revolutionary figure, was going to restore the nation state, which is the biggest and most important weapon against the whole liberal, so-called liberal world order, the socialist international order that has never really been tried ever since it really got started after World War II. And I think that their desperation is what caused them to take these tremendously reckless measures, these lawless measures. And because Donald Trump won, as you both have told us and explained, yes, this is why they were possibly caught, and we're at this point of exposure that is truly of a magnitude we've never really seen before. So it's a very, very important moment where I do think, again, getting to the sort of notion of what inspires them is very important. What I discovered in this little book, The Red Thread, is that you see in many of these figures inside the anti-Trump conspiracy, by their own words, an affinity, a connection to Marxist ideology, to communist beginnings. James Comey himself discussed being a communist in college. You have John Brennan openly discussing his vote for Gus Hall in the Brezhnev 1970s. I mean, these are hard left biases. And looking at Nellie Orr, she is someone who, as an academic, was very fond of Joseph Stalin. She saw terror, yes, but excitement. Literally, those are her words, the terror and excitement of the Stalin era. And this is when she was a professor at Vassar in the 1990s, when another Fusion GPS contractor, Edward Baumgartner, was a student there. So this connection, this thread, if you will, this continuity among them, ideologically speaking, I don't believe is accidental and could be very, very illuminating.
And what's your final word on that?
I just say that I think it may be ideological, but I think it's more personal and visceral. Donald Trump promised to drain the swamp. People like Comey and Brennan and Clapper They were all the swamp, and they knew they were going to get drained. Hillary Clinton allowed them, upon her election as president, to keep their jobs and their power. They would likely all stay on. I think that's what drove them.
Yeah. Well, the question is, do you believe Barr will hold, will he do the whole job, or does he start after the exoneration of Hillary? Because I don't think if the Clintons get a pass in this again, and they've gotten many, many passes over the years, I think there's not going to be the confidence that needs to be restored for people to have the rightful respect of America's premier law enforcement and intelligence agencies. But if we do get the whole thing right, I think that confidence will be restored. And I also think we send a loud message that it's never going to be tolerated again. And we ought to put in a system of checks and balances, Greg, to make sure it doesn't happen again. I mean, it's pretty scary.
I agree. Right, I agree right with there. You wholeheartedly.
Absolutely.
And the problem for the Justice Department is some of the statute of limitations are 5 years on the alleged crimes that Hillary Clinton committed. Not all of them have run, but many of them have. So that's an obstacle for them. But I do believe there is an investigation going on at the DOJ into Hillary Clinton's activities on Uranium One. That has a longer statute of limitations of 10 years. And so that's not a prohibition. But I agree with you. They need to look at all of it.
So, Diana, where do you see this all ending? And, you know, how soon do we get the Horowitz report? And how devastating do you think that's going to be?
Well, I hope it's devastating. If it were to be an honest reckoning, I think it would be one of the most devastating documents in American history. I'm of a mind right now that the best way to get this thing really moving forward is the complete declassification of as much of the FISA documentation and other pieces of information that have been withheld from us all of this time as possible. I think that that is the place where you will not see spin and you will get the real information about how this attempted coup went down.
Oh, good point. Last word, Greg Jarrett.
I think the IG report will, in the end, be shocking, that there will inevitably be criminal referrals. Evidence will be presented to a grand jury by Dunham and others at the Department of Justice. And I think in the end, there may be some indictments, as there should be.
All right. Thanks so much, both of you, for being with us. Wide open telephones when we come back, 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program, we have Kayleigh McEnany, Jeff Lord. They'll check in with us. We'll talk about the constitutional crisis the Democrats, the media keep reporting, when in fact, the only constitutional crisis is the one they missed. We'll have a lot more as the Sean Hannity Show continues.
So now you hear the term constitutional crisis.
You know, you hear this word constitutional crisis.
A little constitutional crisis.
What exactly counts as a constitutional crisis?
Are we in a constitutional crisis? Hmm.
Is this a constitutional crisis?
I think it's a constitutional confrontation.
Constitutional stress test.
Constitutional showdown.
Constitutional confrontation.
Confrontational crisis.
Do you agree with Chairman Nadler that the country is currently in a constitutional crisis?
Yes.
It's a constitutional crisis, okay?
Constitutional crisis?
We have the option of impeachment, and we think this is a constitutional crisis.
Start impeachment proceedings.
Why not pursue impeachment? Why are you resisting?
Some people would argue we've been in a constitutional crisis since Donald Trump was elected president.
Oh, yeah. Is it a constitutional crisis? Yeah, well, we have an informational crisis. I can tell you about that, because all the voices pretty much you just heard there, well, they're known liars. They're known conspiracy theorists. They have pushed the biggest hoax that I think most of us have ever seen in our life. Anyway, Kayleigh McEnany, National Press Secretary for the Trump 2020 campaign, Jeff Lord, his new book coming out, Swamp Wars, Donald Trump and the New American Populism versus the Old Order, and you can order it early on Amazon.com. Welcome, both of you.
Thanks so much, Sean.
Look, there is an informational crisis. There's not the only constitutional crisis is how did they rig a primary so Bernie had no shot of winning? How did they rig a criminal investigation so Hillary had no chance of being indicted? How did they try to rig a presidential election using, of all things, Russian lies to bludgeon Donald Trump and disseminate false information through their media friends? And then what about the constitutional crisis of some of the top people in our government trying to unseat a duly elected president and setting him up for such.
You're exactly right. Those are all the crises that are actually happening and are actually on the horizon. It's incredible. You know, only the Democrats can rig a primary, rig it for Hillary Clinton. She was in de facto control of the DNC and get away with it. Only Hillary Clinton could take sledgehammers to her BlackBerry's, bleach bit her server, and she gets away with it despite an active violation of the law. She has the FBI and Jim Comey and Loretta Lynch covering for her, who, of course, we know met Bill Clinton on the tarmac. But nevertheless, here we are. They're declaring constitutional crisis after 2 years of investigating the president and an absolute total exoneration. But yet, nevertheless, they parrot the DNC talking points. That's exactly what we were just hearing.
Jeff Lord, you're back with us. What do you think?
Sean, the only constitutional crisis here is that a silent coup attempt pulled off by these people like James Comey.
They played the same kind of games with Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary. You know, Sean, I keep listening to every time you say that James Comey should just be quiet and save his advice, you know, give him advice like a lawyer.
I tell him he has the right to remain silent, and he's not listening to me, and I think it's dumb.
No, he isn't. I watched that CNN thing, and I thought to myself, man, this guy is getting himself in seriously deep trouble.
Well, I think it's even worse than that. I mean, the one thing that I really am watching very, very closely, we see the liberal anger towards the attorney general. I mean, the idea, Kayleigh McEnany, that some stupid, dopey congressman on the House Judiciary Committee are talking about the sergeant of arms handcuffing the attorney general of the United States because the attorney general refuses to break the law and saying that they're going to force him to testify. And then they want to break a 206-year precedent in history. And rather than have duly elected, accountable lawmakers ask questions of the attorney general, well, for the first time, as I said, in 206 years, they'd rather the lawyers do that work because obviously they're not capable of questioning the attorney general in a way that's going to be most effective for them. Now, they're still going to have the lawyers write out the questions. The problem is, well, if you don't know the law and he does, you're likely going to look pretty stupid in the end. And I think that's what they fear more than anything.
That's exactly right. And here's what they're counting on, and they're counting on this incorrectly, is they're counting on the American people to turn a blind eye, to ignore the facts, to ignore the idea that this hasn't been done in 207 years, but nevertheless, we're demanding it now. They're counting on the American people to be ignorant to the fact that they're asking Bill Barr to break the law by delivering grand jury testimony, which we know is illegal under the very laws of Congress. They're counting on the American people to be ignorant on this, but the American people aren't. They're smart. They see through these antics. They see through this political theater and the games of Democrats, and they see that there was no collusion, and they don't want more investigating, which is why 60% say let's move on. So Democrats proceed at their own peril here.
What do you think? I mean, now that Mueller really is dead, I mean, the attorney general couldn't be any more clear. Mueller had the time and the resources, and he had all the agents that he wanted, and he was thorough in his search, and he came up with no collusion and no obstruction. And in spite of what other people say, that is the conclusion. And do you think this matter is closed, Mr. Attorney General? Do you think you'll change your mind on the Mueller report? He says no, but he is interested in looking into, well, how did Hillary's criminal investigation get rigged? Who was involved? Why would it have happened? Then he's interested in getting to the FISA abuse issue. I think we're getting very close to hearing from Michael Horowitz and his report. And I think one of the early signs that that is happening is the appointment by the attorney general tapping a prosecutor to investigate the origins of the FBI Trump-Russia probe and the specific spying. And the guy's name is John Durham, who apparently has a stellar record, and people say that he is as thorough as they come. I can't imagine that those that relied on Hillary's dossier and didn't tell the court that Hillary paid for it and that Steele had an agenda, I can't assume any other outcome except what the obvious would be, Jeff Lord, and that is they committed a fraud on the court.
Well, that's right. And, you know, Sean, I took a look back in 2011. The New Republic ran a list of the most unfamous people in Washington. One of them was John Durham. And it goes into great detail in this about how he handled, quote-unquote, some of the most sensational FBI trials in history. And not only that, he's been in charge in previous times with investigating CIA abuses. So he is exactly the person you want here, somebody who knows exactly what he's doing, who knows where to look for the buried bodies, as it were.
Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to get what they want. Now, there's another strategy emerging, too, with all these people that have had to pay, you know, $1,000 an hour for lawyers to go before the Senate and House committees. And they've answered every imaginable question. And many of them also got brought before the Democratic hit squad of the witch hunt team of Robert Mueller. And what are we now going to start dragging them back one by one? What is Senator Burr of North Carolina, Republican, thinking, Kayleigh McEnany? Because that sounds like the dumbest idea I've ever heard from a Republican in all this.
Yeah, that is a pretty dumb idea, and I'm not entirely sure as to why he went down this path. It's nonsensical, and it's playing right into the Democrats' hands. You know, these were many innocent Americans who were dragged into this, who had human sources placed on them, spies, in other words. I know Democrats won't use that word, but that is exactly what they were. They were spied on. They were then dragged through legal proceedings, exactly as you said, millions of dollars in some cases, certainly hundreds of thousands when you aggregate it all together. All of this money spent. Why? Why were they targeted? Simply because they had an R behind their name and because they worked and were affiliated with President Donald Trump. That is a scary day in America when the American intelligence community can be turned against you and the legal community weaponized, the DOJ weaponized against you.
How does this play out in 2020 as all these new Green Deal candidates are trying to make the case for greater socialism, more government control of our lives? They want to alter the lifestyle of the American economy at its core, Jeffrey Lord, and, you know, by eliminating the lifeblood of the economy, which is oil and gas. Do you really believe that there's enough people out there in a Democratic primary that would buy into some of these nutty ideas that are being put forth by all of the candidates?
Yeah, I do think there are some. You know, this reminds me increasingly of 1972 when the Joe Biden of the day was Senator Edmund Muskie, the establishment favorite. He was supposed to win this going away, and he was upended by George McGovern's passionate army of, you know, like college kids and far lefties, anti-war types. I think this is right to happen to Joe Biden. I see that Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez has already attacked him for trying to play to the middle on climate change. She's furious about it, and she's going after him. I think he's going to have an increasingly difficult time.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, how's this play out? And I can ask both of you. Kelly, I'll ask you first. Who do you think emerges as the leader and the person that ultimately wins the nomination?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think people right now are saying Joe Biden's running away with this, but I think they're making a real mistake here. When Bernie Sanders stands beside him on that debate stage, looks him in the eye and says, under your leadership, we lost 211,000 manufacturing jobs because of you, because of NATO, because of the TPP. That was 1 million jobs hemorrhaged. Another 500,000 had TPP gone through. I don't see how Joe Biden survives. I don't see how he survives the failed Obama record. I don't see how he survives the radicalism of the far left that demands he embrace the Green New Deal. So I think you're going to see a far leftist, a Bernie, a Warren, a far leftist emerge, a socialist take the reins.
So you agree with Kayleigh? It's not going to be creepy, crazy, sleepy Uncle Joe?
Yeah, I do. I think he's got a big problem. You know, we're distracted by the number of people here in this race, but if it all starts to focus on one of these far left people, then the other one sees that they can't win, they'll go with that person. And it will basically be Joe Biden against all of these people supporting one of them.
But that kind of helps him in the beginning. But as you whittle down the field, I mean, look at Ocasio-Cortez's comments going after Biden on climate issues. I will be damned if leaders try to sell a middle ground approach. He was talking about Biden.
There you go. That's what I saw. That's exactly right. He is going to have a serious problem. And the other problem here that he's also going to have is all this attention to Don Jr. is bringing attention to the activities of Hunter Biden. And I think that is going to prove to be a serious problem for him.
I think it's a big problem. And we got him on tape bragging how he withheld $1 billion of American aid until, well, they had a 6-hour deadline to fire the prosecutor that we now know is investigating his own son. Then we've got Peter Schweitzer's chronicling the Biden's moves in China, where, you know, literally it's a field he's not even engaged in at all. And as we continue, Kayleigh McEnany is with us, National Press Secretary for the Trump 2020 campaign. Jeff Lord, his upcoming book, Swamp Wars, Donald Trump and the New American Populism versus the Old Order. Well, the Old Order also, and I think this is important to make this distinction, is also Republicans, Jeff.
Yeah. Absolutely. One of the things I talk about in the book are the Never Trump Republicans and their attacks on Donald Trump and you, as a matter of fact. I mean, they are just, to be perfectly candid.
You mean people attack me? I've never known that before. Linda, did you ever hear about this? When did that start?
I know it comes as a surprise to you. But these people are so wedded to the establishment and the old ways of doing things that this is the problem here, is that they feel that Donald Trump and his supporters, I might add, are a problem for them and will end their reign, as it were, with the Republican Party. They're right.
Well, the Republicans, and this is a problem, Kayleigh McEnany, you're working for the Trump 2020 campaign. There are a lot of Republicans in the Senate. Every House member's also, up for re-election. And then the question is, these senators, these House members that haven't supported the president and a successful agenda, where do they go?
Yeah, they're in trouble in their district, and it's something we saw play out through the primaries. If you don't support the president, you're in trouble with your constituents, because here's the secret, and I know that Jeff would agree with me on this, both of us having worked at CNN, these so-called never-Trump Republicans only exist in the media and the swamp. It's a very small group of elected officials. It's a very small group of pundits over at CNN and MSNBC who are not at all reflective of where this party stands with 93%.
Yeah, there's a little secret Jeff and I have. Jeff would be up there, let's see, against Axelrod, Van Jones, Donna Brazile, Anderson Cooper, Amanda Carpenter, I think, would be on those panels. And, you're the only conservative supporting Trump, the only one.
Anna Navarro. Don't leave her out.
Oh, yeah, don't leave Anna Navarro out. And so I'd be watching, and I'm like, I watch only because Jeff is my friend, and I'm watching. The funny part is he gets 90% of the airtime. Because all of the attention is fixated on, when the same with you, Kayleigh, because all the attention will be on the two of you, because not one person there could stand you. And they just hated everything that you said, and they couldn't, they were shocked, 40,000 times an hour. What do you believe that? Shocking, shocking, shocking. No wonder.
I remember, Sean, when you sent me an email on one occasion in the middle of this, and I looked down and it said, I can't bear to watch anymore.
Yeah, I walked away. I abandoned you in the battlefield. I said, I can't handle it anymore. Enough is enough. All right,
but
thank you both.
We have the American people on our side.
So. That's true. Yeah. All right, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. News Roundup, Information Overload Hour at the top of the next hour. And much more coming up straight ahead, and a lot of your calls, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. An awesome Hannity tonight at 9 on Fox, straight ahead.
Coming up next, our final news roundup and information overload hour.
What is too much for me is the fact that in 1989, the year that I was born, the year that many of us were born, and in years after and right before, that politicians were first informed by NASA, that Congress was first notified by NASA that climate change was going to threaten my life and everyone here's life to come, and they did nothing. That is too much for me.
The critics have lined up to take their shots at the Green New Deal. Totally bogus stories about ice cream and hamburgers and airplanes. They call the Green New Deal pie in the sky. They call it socialism. But what about the oil and gas industry tax breaks that are a permanent part of the tax code, some of which have been on the books for over 100 years? But Republicans only call it socialism when we try to help the things we like. So here's what I say for wind and solar and all electric vehicles and clean energy: give us some of that socialism that the oil and gas industry has had for a century.
Trump's buildings in New York City produce as much greenhouse gases as 5,800 cars a year. And we won't allow them to go on like that. So we have a message for President Trump and all the other big building owners in New York City. Cut your emissions or we will cut something you really care about. We will take your money. We will fine you. We will hold you accountable.
Road, I've never been in the middle of the road on the environment. And I tell her to check, the statement that I made and look at my record. She'll find that nobody has been more consistent about taking on the environment and a green revolution than I have. And so, look, anyway, but I don't think she's talking about that.
With this idea that I haven't done anything, take a look at the record. That's what I'd say. I'm sure she will get time to look at it.
All right, News Roundup and Information Overload Hour on the Sean Hannity Show. This is what now modern liberalism, the Democratic Party, has evolved into. I mean, it is just, it's off the rails. You know, and so ironic because we're at a point where it's a tipping point moment. I mean, there's no doubt about it. 2020 is going to be a choice election year. It won't be any more clear. I mean, Biden is going hard left because he wants to get the nomination. And, you know, even if he were to win, this is the party that will push him even in the presidency further left. It is not based on the science that they are saying. There's no other country on earth that has cut back on CO2 emissions than this one. Yes, we should be good stewards of the gifts that God gives us, the greatest country God gave man. Nobody wants dirty water. Nobody wants dirty air. Nobody wants to also go back to, you know, the Fred Flintstone era and, you know, use rocks as means of transportation in a phony car. I mean, it just becomes absolutely insane. And as we go forward, this is what they want. Now, Ocasio-Cortez, got to give her a little credit. She did back off the, well, the planet is dead in 12 years thing. Is that correct, Linda?
Well, she says she was kidding now. She's just kidding. It's all a big joke.
It's all a big joke. She was kidding. I guess you get made fun of enough that that's the only reason.
Well, no, what happened was she went on her little, talk show spree, and everywhere she went, even the liberals were confused by what she was saying because she makes no sense. She talks in circles. She literally gets handed a script by her chief of staff, and he says, these are your talking points. But the problem is, if anybody asks a follow-up question, it's done. It's over.
Because she doesn't have any answers.
He has no answer. She can't spell answer. It is a problem. This woman is running around screaming and yelling. And you know what? She is a gift. She is a gift to Donald Trump. Because you know what? She never would have gotten past the first level of interview.
Well, they're all gifts to Donald Trump. I mean, because this is where the party is. I mean, that's why Biden wants, you know, free health care for illegal immigrants. That's why they don't.
That's Kamala Harris now. She's taken over that.
Well, Biden's right there with her. That's why they want to eliminate private insurance.
Right. But the thing that bothers me more about Kamala Harris is here's a woman who's in California. You're seeing what's happening to your people. You're seeing what's happening to your constituents. You're seeing needles in the street. You're seeing illegal immigrants taking jobs away from people that could be working them that are American citizens. And you don't care. I mean, how much more money do you want to take away from the average American?
Yeah, well, I think that's the last thing they're concerned about. When you ask anybody how to pay for it, they have no answer. All right, let's get to our phones. A lot of you being patient. Daniel is in Georgia, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. News Roundup, Information Overload Hour. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Sean. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
Well, first I got to say, Sean, you're a great American. I hadn't heard anybody tell you that in a long time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. So are you, sir.
Well, thank you. Sean, I actually called yesterday, but we were talking about Rashida Tlaib and everything that's going on. Sean, here's this thing. I'm 30 years old, right? And I do not understand how in the world people my age are so heavily voting Democratic. I mean, I am, and this whole thing, this all this stuff about paying for health care for illegals and everything, who's going to pay for that? I mean,
listen, it is what they are putting forth. Medicare for all, for example, that in 10 years, it's going to cost $94 billion, the new Green Deal. The numbers are staggering. You know, they're already saying they want a 70% personal individual tax rate. Then they want a 90% corporate rate. That it'll stifle and stop in its tracks all economic growth in this country. We will have negative GDP growth. We will not We will not have and become the prosperous society we can be. We're literally on sitting on the verge of more wealth creation ever in American history because of newfound sources of energy, meaning natural gas. You know, we are the entire Middle East of natural gas, clean burning gas. On top of that, our oil reserves are massive. ANWR is open. We have two pipelines being built. And production is continuing in states like Texas and Oklahoma and even off the Gulf Coast, the Pacific Coast, and, of course, the eastern coast of our country. You know, we have the ability now to be the biggest net exporter of energy in the world. And the difference between us doing this and other countries doing this is it's not going to be in the hands of a, you know, Hugo Chavez or a Vladimir Putin or a bad actor. You know, in this case, this can be wealth that literally lifts every single solitary American out of poverty into a new standard of living that we maybe never envisioned that would happen for everybody, or at least everybody that chooses to work. Everyone that wants to put in the time and have the nice house and a nice car and the nice vacations and go out to eat the simple things in life.
And hey, Sean, can I jump in here for one quick second?
Yes,
so
ma'am.
Joe Bastardi sent me an article this morning. I don't know if you saw it. He had an op-ed in Fox News, and he literally breaks apart this Green New Deal that these Dems are talking about. And he's like, it's going to cost $93 trillion on the first 10 years. And he said that's $600,000 for every household, according to the American Action Forum. So $600,000 for every U.S. household.
Listen, retrofitting every building and every home in America, they don't even answer how you're going to pay for that. How do you build a skyscraper? And I'm sure there's a way. How do you build skyscrapers in New York without steel and without glass? What are the materials going to be made of? And maybe they've come up, they're not going to use plastics. They're not going to be able to use wood. So what do they use that then stops all progress in building in New York City? And New York City begins to stagnate. And then New York City loses population as they already are because of the, you know, confiscatory tax rates and the burdensome regulation on everybody.
And the one funny thing that Joe points out is that what they want to do will literally only reduce, and this is insane, will literally only reduce the rise in global temperatures by .01 degrees Celsius.
.01 degrees.
That's insane.
It's not discernible even. That's the point. All right, let's get to our phones. Mary Jane is in Ohio. How are you, Mary Jane? Glad you called.
I'm glad I talked to you. I'm just like amazed that these people are so out of touch. What news do they listen to? What is their
fake
motivation? What's the motivation for them to continue this? I mean, what do they get out of it? Are they getting paid off? What do they get out of this?
Listen,
because they're protecting criminals.
It's a great question you ask. What they get is their power. Remember, it's all about power.
As much power if they'd switch and say, man, I don't believe this either at all. You know, I think it's really crazy. And switch the whole thing. It could be on top of the world.
America can be the best, richest country on the face of the earth. And then, you know, America's been kind of, throughout its history, a very generous country. Then we'll share that wealth with other people. You know, it's amazing. If we're having job seminars in prisons in Pennsylvania, I think that's a pretty good sign that our economy now needs other workers. And if you can prove that we can vet you, you're safe, you want to be a part of our family, you want opportunity, and you can take care of yourself, that's got to be mandated as well. You can't come to America then be a burden on the system because you got one of the highly coveted positions. Anyway, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. All right, as we continue back to our busy telephones, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. Bruno Dallas next, Sean Hannity Show. What's happening, Bruno? How are you?
I'm doing well, Sean. How are you?
All right, what's going on?
Well, listen, a couple of weeks ago, middle of April, I believe it was, the New York Times came out with an article talking about Russian disinformation is what fed into the Christopher Steele dossier. And as a paralegal, went to college and studied and worked independently for years, the very first thought that entered my mind is, if we don't challenge every time they say disinformation and say prove it, we may be giving everybody who is culpable criminally in any way with the dossier and the entire debacle against the campaign and the presidency of Donald J. Trump, we are giving them a get out of jail free card, potentially.
It's all true. I mean, that's why you can't give, you can't have a dual justice system in America. You mm-hmm. can't have, let's start with the surveillance unmasking, leaking raw intelligence. We can't use the powerful tools of intelligence, and they're more powerful than they've ever been. We entrust people to use it to protect us. You can't turn those powerful weapons on us, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, we are a constitutional republic. We do have protections. And when one family breaks the law and the evidence is overwhelming and everybody else would go to jail, well, then we really don't have a constitution, you know, equal
exactly
justice
right
under the law or equal application of our laws. That's why getting this
exactly
right and going back and fixing everything that was done wrong, everything that was rigged or attempted to be rigged, and holding those people accountable, it's going to be good for everybody in the end, because the rank and file special agents that I know are disgusted at what the upper management ranks did within the FBI. Same in the intelligence community. You know, you got to understand that if you're an intelligence officer, if you're an FBI agent, you love your job. I've never met a guy that did these jobs that didn't love it. They embrace it. They work hard at it. They're proud of what they do. They know things that would blow the minds of the average American. And they know it's necessary and needed because there's a lot of dark forces in this world. But they do it because they want us to remain free. And to then use it against certain people because of their political point of view, or even weaponizing the IRS for that matter, is an extraordinarily dangerous thing. I mean, this is what happens in these banana republics, these dictatorships, and that's how freedom erodes. And fundamentally, it's one of the most important things that we've got to do, and that's get to the bottom of it all. And as we can see, we're getting closer. And what we saw yesterday with the appointment by the attorney general, he tapped this prosecutor to investigate the origins of the FBI Trump-Russia probe. We're getting rumblings that the IG report is coming very, very soon. My gut tells me, and I don't know for sure, but my gut tells me, past experience, the IG may have already handed over his report, and that may have been what triggered the decision by the attorney general to grab this top federal prosecutor in Connecticut and look at the origins of the 2016 counterintelligence investigation that conducted, you know, we know spying on the Trump campaign, because that would also fall under the umbrella of FISA abuse and committing a fraud on the FISA court. So I think all of that is relevant here. This was a big day yesterday. It was massive. This is a day where, you know, but it shouldn't be a surprise, because we've been telling you this is all coming. It's a surprise to the media because they're still waiting for the Mueller report to find collusion, and they can't believe it didn't come out the way they had predicted for 2 years it would come out. And they're not going to admit they're wrong. They're just going to double down on the next whatever it is to hate Trump on.
Do you think Seattle has a homeless problem?
Yes. I see it every day when I walk to work.
In the last 5 years, it's gotten steadily worse, with the numbers of people actually living on the streets rising at an exponential number.
Would you say there's a homeless problem here?
Yeah, there is a homeless problem. It's a big, big time homeless problem.
Describe to me what you see.
Tents on the sidewalk, debris and litter like everywhere.
I actually see a lot of marijuana smoke. I've found needles in the park.
I've seen heroin deals go down in my backyard. Called the police and they never showed up. They said there was just
You've seen drug deals in your backyard.
I've seen them heating up the heroin in a spoon in my backyard.
With all the tech companies coming to Seattle, do you actually think it's a money problem, or do you feel like the people that are elected here are focused on other issues?
I think, sadly, looks like they don't care.
But I don't think the city's really doing their job on it. I think they're putting their efforts into the wrong place.
The big companies, Amazon, Starbucks, Microsoft, Boeing, even the small tech companies, could really do a little bit more community service.
Do you feel safe with all of this going on?
No. I try not to make eye contact, but I walk as fast as I can.
And this is the new normal.
Unfortunately, that's true.
All right, that was, you know, you can't make this stuff up. Lawrence Jones is in Seattle. We've been sending Lawrence and our producers out across the country to some of the more liberal cities. One of the first ones we went to was San Francisco. And it's amazing because in the distance between Nancy Pelosi's office and Nancy Pelosi's multi-million dollar, you know, guarded neighborhood, gated neighborhood, walled up house, in the middle of all of that, well, you have a crisis that she can't possibly avoid seeing. And that is that these liberal cities, in San Francisco in particular, their big problem is needles from drug addicts are everywhere. And that's a mile from her office, a mile from her home. And then people are literally defecating on the streets. And human feces are pretty much everywhere.
How do you feel about Nancy Pelosi's leadership in this area?
Things need to change a little bit here.
So I've been around here a little bit. I've seen noodles and feces everywhere. How do y'all feel about the state of y'all community?
Pretty bad. I mean, especially you work in a, we work right at this building right here, mm-hmm. and here City Hall. It's beautiful, nice scenery, beautiful weather. Kind of makes it a drab when you walk around, you see needles and close to a playground and just feces everywhere. I mean, the smell of it all.
When you have needles and blood-stained clothing in the streets, that can't be safe for anyone.
There's an increase of poverty, drugs, needles on the street, feces everywhere. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's really crazy because, you know, I do see, like, a lot of needles and then, you know, feces everywhere.
So the crack, the homelessness, has that become the new normal in San Francisco?
Absolutely.
Nancy Pelosi. She's a representative of this area. Do you blame her for some of these issues?
I think Nancy Pelosi has done a pretty fine job to date. I would ask her to go further.
She's been in office for over 20 years. Does she have some type of responsibility?
In that case, I would say yes.
Nancy Pelosi is your leader in the area. How do you feel about her leadership?
I think that she's great. I think that she's strong. I think she's a fantastic negotiator. I think that she gets a bad rap because probably because she's a woman.
What about the leadership? Nancy Pelosi is the leader here. She's about to become the Speaker of the House. Really? How do you feel about her leadership?
I think that she's old blood and we need some new blood in there.
I definitely don't feel very good about her leadership, you know, so I don't think she's being a very, I think she's status quo.
She has to do a lot better. I think we actually need new blood, new faces, people with a little bit different ideas. And fresher ideas. She's had a chance. Yeah, she's had a chance.
There's feces everywhere, homeless people, needles. Is that the norm around here?
Unfortunately, it is. It's devolved. The city has become so much worse in the last 10 years. That's a disgrace.
I could see a lot of people in the area that we're in. They were all like, you know, had needles, you know, pumping up in their arms just outside.
Everybody's shooting up right up the street. They don't care. Selling dope, crack, whatever.
It's a bad situation. I don't really know what the solution is going to be.
So what do you see on a typical day with people?
Drug use. People shoot up right in the middle of the street. It's crazy.
While the kids are crossing.
Kids, yep.
Families are going
families
there.
Families going everything. Excrements all over the floor, all over the ground.
Is it really safe for kids to play at the playground when you see all this waste, human waste, and needles everywhere?
I wouldn't bring my kids to the playground. I wouldn't bring my kids here.
About how many pounds of feces?
At least 5 to 10.
And the needles?
10 to 20 every day.
Every day.
Man, that can vary. It can be anywhere from 5 to 10 or 10 to 20. It depends on what route you take.
And piles of poop?
Man, now that's the biggest thing is the smell.
I have my grandkids here. You know, I'm scared to let them walk on certain, you know, sometimes I have to pick them up and carry them. I don't want them to step on a needle.
Our political leaders are not dealing with this.
Yeah.
They're not dealing with this.
That I agree
and I think
with.
It's corrupt.
This is the normal. This is the normal. It's crazy.
And then they got a worse problem. You have mental illness and you got drug addiction. It's just all over the place. And I just sit here and I scratch my head and I'm wondering, okay, Nancy Pelosi, how many decades now has she been in the Congress and been in the leadership of the Democratic parties? Maybe now she's just Speaker in name only, but, you know, forget about the government. Why do we always have to look to the government? She lives in one of the richest parts of the country, San Francisco.
But when they say San Francisco, as if to make it sound like it's something negative, fence fighting words. Don't attack. attack my city. It's quite hard. But San Francisco values, that's what we're about.
I mean, all the Silicon Valley money and big tech money that live in the adjoining neighborhoods, you can't get together and say, all right, well, I'll kick in a million. You'll kick in a million. All right, I got another one. We have 15. All right, let's go for 20 million. Do some fundraisers. And all of a sudden, maybe you build something pretty spectacular for the people of your own city, your own neighbors. And maybe within that facility, you can give out, you know, a couple of warm meals a day to the people that don't have any money. Maybe you can allow people to take a shower. Maybe you can even offer drug counseling of some kind. Maybe a cot on a cold night with blankets if these people are freezing. And it does get cold sometimes in San Francisco. They're never going to do it. And if they ever decide they want to do it, they're going to say, we, the people, have to step up and pay for it for them. Because they're only generous with other people's money. Linda, did you see the video from last night? These tent cities that all these homeless people in Seattle live in.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. I mean, now I get it that, you know, the same liberals don't want to control the border where all the heroin and fentanyl is coming across. But heroin is the main drug that people are using when they're using needles to shoot up with. And you know, on top of that, now they're lacing heroin with fentanyl. That's why we have, 300 people on average a week dying from these overdoses in small towns, big cities all across America.
I am telling you, I was in Denver a few weekends ago for our friend Israel Del Toro's retirement from the Air Force. And I was very excited because I had never been to Denver other than our very brief stint when we were there for the vice presidential debate. And that was Joe Biden and Paul Ryan. So I get to Denver, and the minute that I land, the airport looks like a third world country.
Did you land? Say again. The minute I land.
How do you say it?
The minute I land.
Yeah, the minute I land. Land.
Land.
Land.
Okay. Keep going.
Whatever. Anywho, so get to the airport. It's a complete debacle. I'm like, this looks lovely. I don't know what they're doing. It's their idea of renovation. It'll probably take them 12 years because they're all stoned. So get into the town, the cities, nothing but tents everywhere. The homelessness is rampant. You want to know why? Because everybody's allowed to sit around on the street and smoke pot. So everybody's sitting around smoking pot, bongs. It's like ridiculous where people vape their cigarettes here in New York and they have like, you know, the Juul or whatever. These people are vaping weed. Then you go around the corner.
I heard when they vape weed, the kids are doing it in school because it doesn't smell like weed. Is that true?
Exactly right. So they're using the water vapor to cover up the smell of pot, which absolutely reeks.
By the way, you cannot walk through the streets of New York. And they're about to, I guess, make pot legal in New York, right? That's one of the agenda
items. Well, they no longer prosecute it. So if a police officer walks by you and you're in the middle of the street smoking a doob, he'll just keep it moving.
The thing is, it smells like a dead skunk.
Oh, it's disgusting.
I don't know how people are so disgusting.
Forget about it.
But you smell it every single day.
You walk past and I'm like, you know what? There are so many other things that I would rather smell than someone smoking pot. Like a rotting dead body would be preferable. Over somebody smoking pot in the middle of the street.
I'm just saying,
it's absolutely disgusting. But to go back to your original point, when I saw your piece last night on Seattle, it literally could not hold a candle to what I saw in Denver.
It's sad, though. Look, I understand that pot is in a different class of itself. One of the big problems is, you know, when criminals put their mind to something, they're really good at what they do sometimes. And what they have done as it relates to weed in particular is they've made it stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. It's not like what it was in the 70s or 80s. I mean, this is a powerful drug. You have people, depending what it's laced with, even hallucinating. And now they're, I guess, decriminalizing the use of psychedelic mushrooms. Well, what's the equivalent between that and doing LSD? Is there much of a difference? Don't you go on a trip?
But see, that's not the point. The point is what you have always said, which is that weed, pot, whatever, you know, this is the gateway drug. People say, oh, there's no such thing as a gateway drug. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. Go to any of these cities where they've legalized pot. Right here in New York City, you will see people They go from cigarettes. They have a couple drinks at a bar. They come outside. They smoke a little pot. Then maybe somebody else says, oh, you should try this drug. Oh, this is Adderall. This is methamphetamine. Ah, just snort a little Coke. You know, they got some really good Coke coming in right now. And before you know it, you're doing all sorts of things that you never should have been doing because you tried one stupid drug, and that's pot.
Yeah, well.
Now, I will say the argument
to that. But I believe it's a gateway drug because I think once you like drugs. And then you're going to get excited by the next, whatever next drug there happens to be.
If we can extract the medicinal properties like Charlotte's Web, which they use
for. No, I think that's fine.
You know, young children with epilepsy, then I'm down. That works great. Wonderful.
Well, and they do that. What Linda's talking about, they'll like extract from the hemp plant certain oils that are effective in not curing, but managing certain diseases that people have, but it doesn't have the THC content in it, which would get you high, which I think is great. I think, you know, that's a good use of marijuana.
Right, exactly.
I think medicinally, people that argue, well, we need it for medicinal purposes, there's a thousand different better drugs for that. The biggest problem, though, is the rampant prescriptions given to people. Like, I had this root canal on Friday of last week. And I mean, it was Friday before. And I was doing the radio show. So I was in the chair for 3 hours and it was a major, major job on molars in the back of my lower jaw. It felt like I broke my jaw. So I couldn't get my mouth numb, but I hate that feeling too. I know a lot of people like it, so I let the guy do it. He put a couple of drops of Novocaine in the hole when he finally drilled the hole, and then he takes these like long needles and twists them and twists them and twists them until eventually he can scoop out the actual nerve. There were three different roots he had to go down, and they were really deeply embedded pretty much into my jaw. And I mean, I felt pain it's indescribable. And I took it. I didn't really care that much, but literally tears, I wasn't crying, were just like flowing down the side of my eyes. And I remember seeing stars. It hurt so much because imagine a needle going straight into a nerve inside of your sensitive mouth. And it's not the greatest feeling in the world. And at one point, the dentist even said, I can't do this anymore. I'm like, why not? Nobody does it this way. Why are you making me do it this way? I said, because I got a radio show. Just finish up. It's fine. And you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Well, that's completely insane. I mean, that's just dumb.
You know what, though? It's really not.
It kind of is because, you know, at the end of the day, what you could have done is what normal people do, which is just have a little bit of Novocaine or have them knock you out for this for a very brief moment. Get it done. Bada bing, bada boom, you're done.
All right, Hannity, tonight at 9, we have some breaking news with John Solomon, and Devin Nunes also will be joined by Greg Jarrett, Andy McCarthy, Dan Bongino, Geraldo Rivera, and Rudy Giuliani, and Jesse Waters. That's 9 Eastern tonight on Hannity. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tonight back here tomorrow.